to season 2 of the Dare to Believe podcast. Hey, Rebecca.
Hey, Christy.
Are you excited about season 2?
I'm very excited about season 2. We've got a lot of great guests for our listeners and interviews full of revelation, awesome stories and testimonies that will encourage and inspire you, our listener, for the more of God.
So we want you to dare to believe. Welcome to our podcast. This is season 2, and we are excited. Rebecca, who have we got with us today?
Well, we are so excited to have back in the studio for a second time, repeat from our first season, Max Fetisov. Welcome, Max.
Hi. Hi. I'm happy to be back.
All the way from the Ukraine.
That's right.
So if you listen to our season 1 podcast, you listened on recording number 12. Max told his kind of testimony and a story of how he began this ministry called True Hope Ukraine 20 years ago when he was 11 years old. It's a great story.
Hard for you to have done anything 20 years ago, Max.
But if an 11-year-old, if God can use an 11-year-old boy who just loves him, loves Jesus, that's it. That's what you just love,
right?
The Lord.
That's right.
If God can do that, God can work through anyone, right?
Amen. Yeah. Amen. You and just, he wants to do that.
He does. Come he on. Does. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't listened to that recording, we encourage you to do that. But we're glad to have you back, Max. He is in Minnesota with us today because his leadership team on the U.S. side is in Minnesota.
That's right.
And Max comes about once a year with his wife, Amanda. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And actually, it's been twice this year. We're really blessed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But we're glad to have you here. And I know. You're going to have to edit that one out.
I got it. 90 seconds in, big, long, awkward pause.
Yeah.
Did you just go blank?
I always went blank. Okay. And
thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. So, Lord, what do you want to talk about? And, Max, when we met last time, when we talked last time, you were sharing with us how you have gotten into some really hard places. You live in a place called Krivoy Rog. Mm-hmm. Krivoy Rog.
That's right. Yes. You got it.
And this is good, actually. This little session, I'm getting all the pronunciation right because I'm getting it from Max because I've only heard Christie's. So
yeah. And Christie's Russian and Ukrainian is not real good.
It's not quite like the
and
native.
And that's smack dab in the middle of the Ukraine.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's a very interesting city, but you grew up first right outside that city and then in the city. Mm-hmm. And that testimony, again, is on the other recording, but can you tell us the history of that city and why you think it's strategic that God is doing a really wonderful thing smack dab in the middle of the country?
Right, right. Well, first of all, Ukraine is known to be and has been known to be the breadbasket of Europe for years,
right.
And it still is.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's
isn't
so
that amazing that God made the soil to produce so much food, not only enough for our nation, but enough for other nations to feed? But yet our nation is in such great poverty and has been for ages and ages. The enemy doesn't care how he destroys a nation, whether with too much, like in this nation, for instance, or with too little, like it is in my nation.
Mm-hmm.
So it is an evident and obvious move of God and strategic plan of God, what he's doing. Because our city, Krivoy Rog, is the longest city in Europe. It's actually 90 miles long.
And not very wide.
Not very wide.
It's the most interesting shaped city I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So 90 miles long and how wide?
About 5 miles wide.
About 5 miles wide, if you can imagine. And there's a reason for that.
That's right. The government started this city 260 some years ago just for the mining purposes. So they started one mine after the other, and they didn't have a lot of workers who wanted to work in mining because it's heavy labor, it's hard, it's bad for your health and all that. So they sent prisoners as a punishment to serve their term there. So our city really started with criminals who then had families and were released, you know, from prison and duties, but still lived and had a job and stayed. And so our city really started with criminals who then went back to do crime and a lot of corruption, a lot of drugs, a lot of prostitution, human trafficking. It all happened in this city. So it kind of became the capital for crime. And if you Google it, it still is, unfortunately. But I also believe it's the capital for God's move.
Come on.
And he's gonna do much more today. And he is already doing so much through the ministry that we witness and see, the people of the city, the refugees that we minister to, the orphans that we minister to, the handicaps, the poor and the broken. The Lord is healing.
That's so good. You know, Max, when you were talking, I was reminded of two things. One, that Christ came from Bethlehem, the house of bread, mm-hmm. the city of David.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the same with that, the Ukraine is the bread basket of Europe. It's a place where the feeding is meant to come from.
That's right,
from.
The bread of life.
Come mm-hmm. on. And then mm-hmm. you're talking about this kind of penal colony that your city is or was. Yeah. And that's the same as David's mighty men. These outcasts, these roughnecks, they become the mighty ones when they grasp hold of the gospel. So mm-hmm. there really is something prophetic on both your city and your nation.
Yeah.
For God's great move to come.
Amen. He does everything with purpose.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And that's a very good correlation with David's mighty men and what you're doing, Max, because you are these men and women that you're raising up that are started out as boys and girls, were raised up without mm-hmm. mothers and fathers, whether their parents were dead or whether they were just drug addicts or whether they abandoned them.
Right, right.
It doesn't matter. They were abandoned and their lives were broken, and the only hope they used to have without the Lord's help was usually selling drugs, prostitution, organized crime. That was very real.
Yeah.
But your ministry has made a huge difference in that area.
Right, right.
To the point where some of the people who have those ungodly businesses are not real happy with you. Isn't that
That's
true?
That's right. It's true.
And I love it that the fruit of God in your life is so good that basically the enemy is really bothered by you.
Oh yeah, 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 for sure.
Yeah,
he says with a smile.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, you've had some pretty literal things happen to you that are not pleasant because of mm-hmm. who you are rescuing and getting them back on track with their destiny.
Yeah. Lots of threats, lots of hurting,
not just threats.
Yeah, lots of attempts to destroy the organization, our ministry, and some of the people in it. Of course, I'm always the target for that, because not only that we pray for healing and see healing happen, but we also rescue kids in a very natural, literal way.
Yes.
Rescue them from human trafficking for mm-hmm. organ sale if they're put up for that. And if we know about it, it's huge.
That organ sale, that's a very real thing.
It still is.
It still is. And that mm-hmm. means that there are orphans who are put into an orphanage who have really, literally no name. They're given a first name by the orphanage, mm-hmm. but they have no last name, and nobody knows who they are, and nobody's taking care of them and tracking them. So eventually they can disappear.
Right.
And be sold, their organs sold on the black market for a lot of money.
That's right. Yeah. That's one of the reasons why our government had to make the international adoption as expensive as it is. To adopt a healthy child, it's up to $45,000-$47,000.
Wow.
And it sounds expensive, but they wanted to make sure that if you're going to adopt a kid and if you're going to go through all these hoops, that you're not going to profit from it.
So were people adopting children so that they could sell their organs?
Yeah, and back in the day, you could actually pick which one you like. Today, it's whoever you get. And if you get a disabled one, it's half off.
Oh,
so it's still a very corrupt system, but God is changing that.
Mm-hmm. And what I love about your heart is that the Lord blessed you with a very good education.
Right.
And that was a gift from God.
It was.
And that story's again in the last interview. But you have a law degree, mm-hmm. and you are able to adopt some of those children.
I did.
And why was that important that you legally adopted them?
You know, spiritually, I adopted hundreds and thousands, of course, but literally, I had to adopt for safety reasons, most of them. I adopted 28 kids. Two are in heaven already. They died during this war that took place 4 years ago. They were mm-hmm. drafted into the serving military, army, whatever it was, 4 years ago, and they died. They were killed, so they're in heaven. But the 26 are still legally are my kids, and most of them I adopted for safety reasons, like I mentioned before, organ trafficking or human trafficking and organ sale, so they would have an identity. Because they didn't have a last name or a first name or a piece of ID, they were kind of invisible for the government's radar. So if they disappeared, nobody would know, nobody could tell.
So a child can be born and put into an orphanage.
Yeah.
And
I can give you a, for instance, a good son of mine. His name is Victor. He was born in Russia, and he had two parents who then came to Ukraine for a visit. Then the husband, the dad, he dies from overdose, and the wife, which is the mom, she couldn't bear to live without the husband, so she commits suicide. So this boy, who was born in Russia, Russian citizen, is an orphan in Ukraine. And of course, the government takes him in and they give him a status of an orphan, but they don't give him an identity. They don't give him a citizenship. So until he turned 16, he was in an orphanage without an identity, really just a name, Victor. And then he was transferred and sent out to live on his own and still had no identity and still had no last name or anything to prove who he is.
And so what that means is he can't get a job. He can't get money from the government.
There was nothing.
So in order to survive, someone like that has to do something.
Had
illegal.
To commit crime, yeah, mm-hmm. because there was no other legal way for him to do that. So he ended up committing crime, of course, and he ended up in prison. I mean, they put someone in prison who has no identity, who simply has a name, and they didn't care about it. So when he was released from prison, then I was, you know, able to pick him up and kind of shorten his term in prison. And because he was behaving well, he was just trying to survive.
Yeah.
So when I took him out of prison, I submitted paperwork into court. It took us 4.5 years to get him an identity, to adopt him and to get him a last name. So today he is 25 years old. He has the first last name. He is full on. He knows his birthday. He's got a citizenship. He's Ukrainian. And he knows who he belongs to. That's the most important thing.
Mm. That's wonderful. And so as you mentor children that are in an orphanage. So mm-hmm. mentoring them looks like going in and loving on them, giving them gifts.
Yeah, very simple.
With them, consistently spending time with them from birth to 16, going, mm-hmm. bringing your team mm-hmm. in and people that you've raised up, bringing gifts, lots of things, teaching them about Jesus, but also teaching them about life.
Yeah,
how to have interpersonal relationships, how to do hygiene. You teach kids what they need to know.
Right.
First and foremost, the faith stuff, but much more than that.
Yeah.
And then once they graduate, so to speak, out of the orphanage, they're 16 and they're just sent to live in a dormitory, which is not a very nice place.
No, it's not nice. That's where usually most of the crime happens, because they weren't equipped for independent life, because they weren't taught. They end up committing all kinds of bad criminal acts and just make terrible choices. They don't know what to choose, what's better, what's worse. So they try it all.
And then orphans are born because those
exactly.
Those
so
children.
Then the cycle mm-hmm. keeps on repeating.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so then you're able to speak into that that population as well. So the young older teens and young adults, you're building a dormitory of your own, only it's not a dormitory, it's a home. You're building a home where they will have a bedroom, they will have people who speak into their lives, they mm-hmm. will learn vocations, you'll invest in them mm-hmm. so that they can be productive members of society.
Exactly. We want them to be just equal to the rest of the world. And honestly, these orphans, they have such potential. I mean, there is no such a thing as an ex-orphan, right? But I believe the Lord is changing that as well, because you can only be an ex-orphan if you have a family, if you're a part of a family. And to see orphans who are not creating more orphans, but who are getting married, having kids that they choose to keep and provide for, that to me is healing of a generation. That to me is something the Lord is doing. The spirit of adoption is coming all over. So yes, education, training, coaching, loving on them day to day. I mean, simple things. God is doing that through us just because we said yes.
And you're literally seeing quite a few of those people.
Oh,
now that this ministry has been around for 20 years. I think we mentioned mm-hmm. that. So give us some examples of some of the people that you have in your in your family, so to speak, that are living productive lives and yeah. know the Lord is their Savior.
Well, that's one of the biggest testimonies probably to me. I mean, we see miraculous healings, radical healings that take place daily that we can witness, right? But then you also see the reconciliation of relationships between siblings who never saw each other but knew they existed because the government would separate the siblings in an orphanage and wow. so they wouldn't run away and have bad ideas together. And so when they are reconciled and that relationship is healed again, that's huge. But to see an orphan who is not only able to receive love, but is also able to love, that is no longer orphan. That is the father's heart.
Right,
that is father's heart. That is father's spirit. When you can share the love, when you can give the love. And so that's what we're seeing. When they are choosing not only to take in, but to give back, they're saying, I want to be part of the team. I understand orphans. I've been down that road. I can teach others. I can tell them there's hope because there's Jesus.
And you're seeing quite a few
We're
of
seeing
people.
Quite a few. They're yeah. on our team.
They are. They're doing ministry.
They are.
Like, I've been there. I've seen this. It's wonderful. And so, and not only are they doing, they're having productive lives. They have jobs, but then they're helping to mentor the ones that are younger than them.
That's
that
right.
are coming out of that mm-hmm. as well.
I think you made a really great point, though, Max, is first they need to receive love. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which is so true of us. First, we need to receive love before there's anything to give out.
You can't give unless you received. You have nothing to give.
Right.
And
right.
you don't have to have grown up in an orphanage to feel like an orphan, to be an orphan.
No, it's the spirit. Anybody could have it. Most of us do. The scripture is very clear about it. We were all orphans until he adopted us. Mm-hmm. But yes, he adopted us. He did the legal process of adoption. Jesus did. He paid the price. But do we all believe that? Do we all walk out of that understanding and truth? Not all of us.
And it's that process of receiving his love
right.
so that we can give out his love.
That's right.
Yeah. That's beautiful. I love what you're doing.
You told us about, before we were recording, you told us about a supernatural healing you saw recently.
Oh, yes.
Can you share that story real quick?
Yeah, of course. So awesome. Part of our ministry, we minister to the refugees just because of the war that took place 4.5 years ago in the country, Ukraine, in the east and in the south of Ukraine. So a lot of refugees are coming to our city because we have a refugee camp that was built by Germans, which is also another reconciliation and healing of relationship
wow.
between nations. I mean, can you imagine? Germans were the ones that bombed our country in the past. And today, some of the older people that are seeing that Germans were the ones that gave money and built the refugee camp to help our nation.
Wow.
They're forgiving them.
Wow.
They're forgiving a nation. That is healing and restoring nations.
Wow.
That is what God is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the refugees that are coming, they're all hurt. Their families are, you know, not complete because husbands or sons have died at this war. But some are injured and are there. And this one man in particular, he was, his house was next to an explosion. And so the explosion was so big that a fragment of this explosion got into his body. Well, lots of fragments got into his body, but most of those fragments, the doctors were able to pull out, but one of them stayed and they couldn't operate on it. It was too difficult, too complicated. Long story, very short. We came as regular. We always come to have a service at the refugee camp. And
like a worship service.
Right. Mm-hmm. Just a service.
Share
you know?
The Lord's love.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we were there just talking to the people, and then this guy is always there, but he's kind of cynical, not really a believer, and he comes up this one time and he says, pray for me, I have pain, you know, where the fragment is. And I said, well, okay, we'll pray. And he said, I want the pain to go away. I said, don't you want the fragment to disappear? And he said, well, that's a little too much. So we believe for more than too much. There is no such a thing for the Lord. So we prayed. We believed for complete healing and for no fragment. So I felt that the Lord did it. I knew that God did it. And he said, I'm feeling heat. What does this mean? We all know what it means. He didn't. So I told him, next time when you go to see the doctor, would you please get another x-ray? So he did. The fragment is not there.
Awesome.
There is the scar to show that the fragment went in, but there
so
is no proof to say that it came
out. So there's
out.
A scar. There's an x-ray showing this fragment inside of him.
Yeah.
And then there's
another x-ray,
x-ray
showing that it's gone.
It's
the
gone.
Doctors were shocked and
so
couldn't
fun.
Believe it. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. And the Lord heals in so many ways. You've
That's
seen
right.
recently last time you visited, you were telling us about a girl that was an orphan mm-hmm. and needed healing. Can you tell that story? Because that's still healing. It's still miraculous, but it's a different process that the Lord went through.
Yeah, a completely different process. Kind of a funny one. But yeah, her name is Sveta. She was 20 years old when that happened. We were just ministering together. She was part of the team. One of the orphans, you know, wanted to join the team to volunteer and minister with us. Didn't really have a really close relationship with the Lord. But long story short, she had a lot of unforgiveness to her parents who have died, and she couldn't forgive and she couldn't move on. And finally she met up with me and she said, how do I move forward? How do I forgive them? And I didn't have a formula for this. I said, how about we pray about it? And so we did. And the Lord so gently, so clearly spoke to us both. And I said, why don't you just say it? Say it out loud. I forgive my parents. So she said that. I said, how does that feel? She said, I don't feel anything. And I understand sometimes the feeling comes later, yeah. You know, and we don't have to always feel God to know that he's there, to know that he forgave us. And so she just said it. She was obedient. She said, I forgive my parents. I choose to forgive them. And then I said, well, who do you blame now? And she said, well, myself, I guess. I said, how about you redirect that and blame the enemy? That's whose good. Fault it is? I mean, it's truth, right? And so she said, all right, okay. So she actually, in this prayer of, you know, blaming the enemy, she actually swore. I'm thinking, wow, that's a new one, you know, praying and swearing. But praise the Lord. So then she goes on to say, well, now what do I do? I said, well, you know, all that, you got rid of so much stuff. You got rid of unforgiveness. You got rid of the blaming. Now you need to fill yourself with something, your heart. Why don't you expect from somebody? If you expect from your boyfriend in the future or some friend in the future or even me, that will never be enough. Yeah. Why don't you focus on expecting from the Lord? And she said, okay. And so she said that, I expect from God. And so when she said that, it was like an immediate relief in her life. It was an instant healing in her spirit. You could tell the difference. But more than that, the next day she felt some pain in her stomach and she said, I got to go see the doctor. So she went to see the doctor and they found a huge tumor that was cancerous tumor. And they said, we have to operate immediately. She said, absolutely not. I just went through this amazing healing in the spirit. God is going to do so much more for me. I believe in healing. Cool. And then she called me up and she said, Max, you said God can heal, right? I said, yes. And she said, well, pray for me because I need healing. They found a tumor size of an orange that they need to operate. I said, no. I'm like, you said what? She said, well, you told me to believe in healing, so I'm believing. So, you know, there was no pressure for me. And of course, we started to pray and fast together. And then we had one of the children's concerts coming up. And she was a part of that show, part of that concert.
And how old is she?
She's 20.
Okay.
And so she was up on stage wearing a clown costume or something like that, fun for the kids. You know, we had 600 kids in the room, so it was a massive concert. And there she is just bouncing around, worshiping with the Lord, you know, and worshiping with the kids as she knows that she has this huge tumor that she needs to operate. And I'm just watching all of this, you know, happen. And then all of a sudden, I see some kids pointing at her up on stage. They saw something fell out of her pants. And it was a tumor. I mean, it was a tumor, disgusting, bloody, blackish tumor. And I ran up to her and I grabbed the thing and threw it in a Ziploc bag. And I said, we got to go, Sveta, wow. We got to go. So we went to the hospital to the same doctor who said, there's no way you're going to recover from this unless you have a surgery. And I came into his office. She's still, you know, like covered up with a sheet just because there's a lot of blood. And she's feeling all right, but she was a little bit scared what happened.
Yeah.
And so we walked into the, you know, doctor's office and he said, what are you doing here? Are you here for the surgery finally, to schedule the surgery? I'm like, actually, no, we're here to tell you that we don't need a surgery. We wanted to show you the tumor that fell out of Sveta's body.
It just fell out.
Yeah. So we gave the tumor to the doctor and he said, that's not possible. I said, well, here it is. Keep it. We don't need it. So until today, she's completely healed.
And the tumor is no longer.
Yeah,
there's
no tumor.
Inside of her.
There's nothing cancerous. There's nothing.
I love that. That's such a great story.
Wow.
I'm like cracking up over here. It's just
Yeah.
I mean, the visual was probably something else, but it's just the power of God. He's so good. And I hadn't heard the earlier part about her heart, and that's so important to you.
And while she's worshiping, isn't that, there's something to worshiping the Lord even when you don't understand what's next for you.
Even through your suffering.
You have a choice to worship.
There's also
a
something
sacrifice
about
of praise, right?
Forgiving before you feel it.
Yeah.
That's huge too. And creating expectation for God in your life. I love it.
And there's another young woman you told us about, an orphan that had, I believe, tuberculosis.
Yes, her name is Olga.
That's Olga, okay.
Yeah, she's 14 now. It was just last year, 2018, that I was here in the States, actually, in November, and a doctor friend, where we minister at a clinic for TB kids, you know, because they were exposed. They're all orphans, of course. They were living in a terrible circumstances, terrible places, streets, manholes, garbage bins, I mean, you name it. And she was one of the girls who had TB, and the doctors normally can treat it, but this one was not responding to the pills we had in Ukraine. So the doctor texted me as I was in America here, and she said, Max, we need your help. You need to pray for this girl. She will die if we don't get her some other medicine. And I'm thinking, okay, Lord, what can we do? So I texted back the doctor and I said, well, is there anything I can bring from the States, maybe, you know? And she said, yes, there's actually different pills that they use in the States. So anyway, I contacted a couple of friends here that are doctors, and they were able to prescribe the medicine, and I went to the drugstore to get it.
A lot of these orphans in the Ukraine are able to get medications, but this particular girl was not responding to the medication
available
in the Ukraine.
There's only two types available for TB, two types of pills, and her system was not responding. She would die if she would take all those pills.
Okay.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And so she needed
She needed something different. She needed a miracle, exactly. And so I went to the drugstore to see how much it all is. And of course, you know, they added all up, and the drugstore said that it was over $3,000.
$3,000 for the medication she needs to save her life.
Yeah. Oh, and I'm thinking, you know, Lord, we have not even a dollar in the account for this. I mean, for nothing. We had nothing extra additional to. So we started to pray. I'm here and I have, you know, a week left to be here. So I'm thinking, Lord, you have to do a miracle and you have to do it fast. However you do it, do it. I know you can. So I kind of cried out, and I actually remember crying about it because this girl meant so much to me. This is just, it's not just another life. It's another life. It's another destiny. Mm-hmm. It's another plan of God. And so I said, God, this is your daughter before anything. She's yours. She's not just part of the ministry. She's not just another orphan we have to minister to. So do something. However you do it, but do something. Make it happen. And 2 days later, we got an email saying that we got more than enough money in the account. And it wasn't designated for anything. It was just an offering. And so immediately I went to the drugstore to pick up the medicine. Of course, it took them a day or two to make it. And I picked it up right the day before I was leaving. So Olga is still alive today, and she's really well. She's doing really well. She gained 15 pounds, 14 or 15 pounds now. She's doing really well.
And
she's,
how old is Olga?
Recovering. She's 14 years old now.
14 years old.
Wow.
Fully recovering, yeah.
Isn't God good?
He is good. So sometimes we expect God to do this miraculous in our lives, and we expect him to do it in a certain way.
Right.
But God does miracles, supernatural miracles, sometimes in a very natural way.
Well, and the three different miracles, three different total ways that the Lord did that. So we have to keep our minds open to however he wants to do it.
Exactly.
And what you have is a faith that you know that God will do it. Mm-hmm. You're not sure how he's going to do this.
Yeah.
And you might have to cry out to him, and there's emotions involved. It's not just it's always easy or always happy.
Oh, no.
Because your life is not always easy at all. But you do know that your God will be there for you and with you and work through you.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's what is powerful about your life.
Mm-hmm. There's something about having eyes to see how God is doing it now. Because we want to partner with what he's doing. And you know, with this last story, you're like, okay, the medicine's here. This is the miracle. The miracle is the provision for the medicine.
That's right. Yeah.
And God's a healer. He's released healing to the earth through the medical community, which we're so grateful for, along with the supernatural.
Yeah.
And that's what he's doing. So you're able to partner with that instead of being like, oh, we're going to, you know, to not see the miracle at hand. That's a huge thing, and a huge thing for us as we grow and walk in doing what the Father is doing, is what is he doing this time, in this case?
And I know that there's been times when you guys have grieved and there's been hard things that happen, and you work that through, but you know that your God is good.
Yeah.
And you choose to praise him everything.
He's always good. Mm-hmm. He's always good. He's always the Father who is generous. He's always the Father who is loving. He's always the Father who is answering. He's always the Father who is listening. Mm-hmm. He's always the one we look up to. He's always the one we turn to. He's always the one we run to. He's always the one we hide in.
And so life is challenging for you at times, wonderful for you at others, and you carry...
Just like anyone's.
Just like anyone, right. And you carry a peace and a joy that is tangible on your life. Can you tell us how do you do that in life? How have you learned not to get discouraged by the times that are challenging?
Right.
And to keep the joy and the peace in your life, even when you go through hard times. How have you learned to do that? Because I know you've gone through some really hard stuff, and you've seen people who've lived in some really horrible conditions and some painful things.
Yeah. Well, I keep remembering what Jesus said. He said, the poor will always be there. So if we focus on the poor, and if we focus on the need that's around us, it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
It's heartbreaking. It's emotional. It's heavy. It's difficult. And it's unbearable at times. But if we focus on the one who has it all, if we focus on his face, if we spend time in a secret place, which is what I do. And at first, maybe for some people, you have to be very intentional to do that and actually hide and be alone with the Lord. But then later, for me, it became so natural that I can be in a secret place, face to face with the Father, even when I'm doing ministry. It's so simple because I see his face in those faces we minister to. Yeah. I see his heart in those people we love on. So it became so natural and such an everyday thing. It's just like drinking water. It's like, oh, I'm thirsty. Okay, I'm thirsty for more of the Lord. Okay, I gotta go love on these people. It's just so simple and so easy. So if you focus on him, everything is right.
And what I hear in that is that you know that you can't give away what you don't have. So if you're not filled, if you haven't taken time to be filled up and to be in a good place with the Lord yourself, you can't give that away.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and that reminds me from, I want to say Luke 7. John the Baptist is in prison, and he sends his disciples to Jesus saying, is it you or is it someone else? And John the Baptist knew that he knew. He leapt in the womb. He saw Jesus approaching, says the Lamb of God, takes away the sin of the world. He knew about from anyone else that Jesus was Messiah. But he also knew that Messiah promised to release prisoners from bondage. Yeah. Like you're not supposed to be in captivity. That's not supposed to happen when Messiah is here. And John the Baptist is in jail, and he sends his disciples to Jesus, and he says, is it you or is it someone else? And Jesus answers him. He says, go report to John what you see, that the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf are healed, and the gospel is preached to the poor. He says, blessed is he who is not offended by me.
Yeah.
And I think it's the same thing. The message to John was, don't focus on the lack.
Yeah.
Don't focus on the prison bars, but look at what I am doing.
Keep and don't your face focus on what doesn't make sense to you. Like, this should not be the way it is. Because we don't understand all of how the kingdom works.
There's
we understand
a lot more
some
going
of it,
on.
Yeah. But we don't understand it all.
Yeah. And it can be, and it can offend us. And when you can shut your heart down, you can get bitter.
And then there's another scripture that reminds us of poor in the spirit will inherit the kingdom. I mean, what does that look like? That's what we're after. We're after his kingdom. We're after his heart. But poor in the spirit only will inherit his kingdom. What does that look like? Poor in the spirit. That means everything you know, everything you think you know, is nothing in his presence. Because he is so unlimited. He is so creative all the time. He does new things. We can't even understand how new he is each minute, how refreshing he is. So poor in the spirit.
Yeah, and we tend to take that as being depressed. But that's not really what it means. It just means, yeah, that you don't get it all. But there's a lot of joy on you as well.
Yeah.
There's a lot of joy. Yeah. So we think we have to be somber in order to be poor in spirit, but
no.
Yeah.
It's no, not. It's simply trusting that everything you do know isn't enough, and that's not all.
Right.
There's so much more.
That's
it's
really
simply
good.
Saying, God, you are God of more, and I want that.
Come on.
Mm-hmm. And so this ministry is 20 years old.
That's right.
And you have seen all kinds of things come and go. I mean, the Ukraine is the hotbed of a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you wrestle a bit with the politics, and you're just telling us you forgive, do a lot of forgiveness and a lot of keeping your heart pure towards people who you don't agree with the way they do things.
Right, right.
And so I'm wondering, what kind of advice can you give? The United States is going through a real interesting time as well, where people either love or hate our administration and our president. And you kind of are in the middle of something interesting. You have an election coming up in March of 2019. Can you tell us about that election?
Yeah. We have presidential election March 31st, 2019. So it's a big deal for our nation. And people are, as always, also talking about politics and are thinking that by talking about it badly, they will change something.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? Nothing is ever better when we say bad things about it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what it is. If you want things to be better, say good things.
And pray.
And pray. We are called to do one thing. According to Scripture, we are called to love, to bless, and encourage,
even
and
your
exhort,
enemies, even
our
you
enemies
don't agree with.
That we forgive and love and continue to love. So it really isn't our place to judge. It really isn't our place to criticize. It is our place to put a vote in and to trust the Lord that whoever He places in the government to rule over our nation or your nation is His plan.
And to make your opinion can be known, but you do that with blessing, not cursing. And
exactly.
That's so huge.
Only blessing. Mm-hmm. That's only blessing.
Because what you say makes a difference. What we speak out with the authority that God's given us, what we speak out can have a real bad turn to it.
Yeah.
So we need to be careful what we say. We can still speak out our opinion.
We do carry huge power of words that I believe we often forget.
Mm-hmm.
It's massive authority that He has given us to speak over things, people, to command, to declare, to proclaim, to bless. And that power is not to be neglected and is not to be turned to evil or to curse our government that we will live under. So we do need to bless. But I also believe that we have to remember that the Scripture talks about us being the citizens of heaven. I mean, if we could, we would all have passports right now that said heaven, the citizen of heaven.
Yes,
and
please.
If we think like that, and if we start thinking that way, that really I don't depend on this government. I don't belong to this government. I belong to my Father who is in heaven and who's in my heart, who's here with me all the time. If you think like that, then you really can't curse the government. You can't say bad things about the government because they don't really matter as much as the world thinks they do.
But to pray for and bless
only
those
that.
In authority
that
over
you. That
is
the only thing that we are called to
right.
do.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the Scripture says, pray for and bless all those in authority.
That's right.
So
not the ones you agree with.
Not just the ones I agree with. Right. And that's really hard to do because, you know, you can see the consequences of some of their bad choices. You still pray for wisdom for them. You forgive them for maybe some of the things that they have done that have hurt people that you can see, but you still pray for them.
Well, but then I want to remind, I guess, all of us, your day that you were saved, the day the Lord has set you free, the day the Lord has captured you, the day He gave you a new name, that happened instantly. For some people, it happened 10 years ago. For some people, it happened 10 days ago. Why do we think that He can't do that for our new or current president?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He can do that instantly for anybody.
That's right.
He's God. He can do what He wants, and He does what He wants.
You know, I was convicted a few years ago to really be praying for whoever was in office, like I voted for them. Like, that already been my conviction. And it wasn't that
whether
long ago.
Whether you actually voted for them or
whether
not,
I voted
pray
for
them
for the
as
person.
If you had.
I prayed for that person like I voted for them. And then the Lord spoke to me not that long ago, maybe a few years ago, and was like, well, are you talking about them like you voted for them? Mm-hmm. Are your words full of honor, or are you dishonoring your elected official? And that really convicted my heart, because there's power of life and death in my tongue. Mm-hmm. If I believe that, then what I say actually carries weight. And if I'm going to honor the office, then that will attract the favor of heaven, which is what I want on my government officials. Right.
Mm-hmm. And there are times when it slips out. I mean,
oh, for sure.
I can't believe they made that decision, and we say things, but then be quick to repent and to,
yeah,
that's to right, to bless.
Undo it, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. To bless mm-hmm. them instead.
And that mm-hmm. it's fun to ask God what he wants for that person. I remember with President Obama one time, I was asking the Lord, like, how do I pray for President Obama today? And I remember so clearly, Lord's like, pray for his sleep. Hmm. I was like, oh yeah, I bet that's a big deal. I bet he gets interrupted. I bet he travels a ton. I bet. So I started praying for President Obama's sleep, because everybody makes better decisions when they're sleeping.
There you go.
I was like, oh yeah, that was so smart, God. And it felt it's so minor feeling. You know, there's all these huge things, but they're people, and the presence of God is just, you know, everybody's one encounter away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So on March 31st, we will be praying for the elections going on in the Ukraine.
That's right. Thank you.
And
thank
are you a day ahead of us?
Yes.
So on March 30th in the U.S.
Like 7 hours, 8 hours.
Yeah,
eight
yes,
hours,
thank you.
Depends what time of day we're praying. Mm-hmm.
So Max, can you kind of slow us down by telling us what your dream is for True Hope Ukraine as a ministry, and for the things that you're walking in your country?
Yeah. You know, it really doesn't matter what my dream is for the ministry. What does matter is what his dream is for the ministry. Because 20 years ago, I was just thinking about this. And 20 years ago, I was 11 years old. I did not think I was starting a ministry. I was starting something big and massive that will impact lives and minister to thousands and feed thousands and house thousands. I never thought about that, but I did think about the one in front of me. So after 20 years, his heart did not change. His heart still wants the same. Love the one in front of you. Minister to the one in front of you. Whether it's your sibling, your family member, your neighbor, your coworker, your boss, your whoever it is, someone on the street that the Lord put in your path, and you know that person in your path, not by accident, but for a reason. So take that opportunity to say, yes, God, I know this is the one from you, and I know this is the one for me. What do I do? How do I love? Because love is a great word. We use it so much. We love ice cream. We love people. We love this and that. But the reality is that love's supposed to look like something. The reality is that love's supposed to feel like something. Love smells like something. Sometimes it's pretty stinky, but it's love. It's what we do. We continue to love beyond all that, in spite of all that. And I believe that's his heart. After 20 years in our ministry, I believe that's still his heart, to continue to love one at a time, one by one.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Max. And we've been talking with Max Petisov.
That's right.
With True Hope Ukraine. And you can connect with Max or donate to his ministry at truehopeukraine.com. Mm-hmm. And you can also connect with them through Dare to Believe Ministries, because we're ministry partners. But Max, would you just bless our listeners with that ability of what you just talked about? First of all, to know that the Lord loves them deeply, but just also then to have that fullness of the Lord's presence in their life, so they can give that away, and then to love the one that the Lord puts in front of them.
Absolutely, yeah. Father, we come to you today. We come to you right now, and we ask for your blessing. We know we are no longer orphans, because you have paid the price. You have adopted each one of us, and we are so grateful. We pray for a new and fresh revelation for us to understand, to truly understand, to walk in this freedom and understanding and revelation that we are your sons and daughters, that we belong to you. Not who we are, but whose we are. We are yours, and we thank you for that. And we pray, Lord, that you continue to do what you want to do, and do it through us. We want to be a part of your heart. We want to be a part of your will. So take us as your children, as your instruments in your hands, as your vessels, and use us for your kingdom, use us for your glory. Be glorified. We love you, and we lift you up. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Max.
Thanks for being here, Max.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Dare to Believe podcast. We are grateful for you, our listeners. You can find out more about us at
our website, daretobelieve.info. That's dare2believe.info. Also, to make sure you don't miss any of our upcoming episodes, subscribe to us on Apple iTunes or however you listen to your podcasts. And go ahead and leave a 5-star rating while you're at it. Thank you, guys.